Today, we talk about a scrawny white dude with a lot of tattoos who is inexplicably more popular than it seems like he should be and inexplicably has pulled more attractive women than he probably should be able to. No, it's not me. Pete Davidson. That's what we're going to talk about today and his baby mama sort of drama that's playing out in the public eye. But before we begin, remember to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Really does help the channel. Check us out on Instagram at NYC Divorce Lawyer. But we got a big docket today. Big, just like Pete Davidson's talent. And let's get after it.
All right, Jim, we start with Pete Davidson, who is always in the news for his romantic life.
I'm a Pete Davidson fan. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I enjoy his stuff. I enjoy his stand-up. I enjoy his acting. I liked him on SNL. I like the sort of character arc of him. I like his journey.
Well, he's on one now with his baby mama, Elsie Hewitt, who just 5 months after they had a child together, they have called it quits.
Boom.
And now she's on the internet talking about, you know, how she's going to have to do this all by herself. It's
I mean, that's
PR
a great
for your
place
buddy.
To do that. You know what I mean? Like, that's really going to facilitate a positive co-parenting relationship to just get up and try to use your 15 minutes of fame and say, like, you know, he's really not doing a very good
Well, let's roll the TikTok here. You can pull that clip up, Matt. We'll see what Elsie has to say.
Yeah, I know. I'm exhausted, okay? Left the house looking nicer yesterday. I should have known that that was going to happen. But that's not what I'm thinking about right now because I have a baby to take care of. And I also have to work and make money.
Is she like a brain surgeon? What does she do?
Now, on top of that video,
what
someone
is she,
commented.
What does she do, by the way, that she has to work? Do we know what she does for a living? Well, she has to work. So I assume she was talking about.
She's a model, actress, and culinary influencer.
Ah, well, she associated. That's when she had to work. Mm. You know what I mean? She's got a model and act and culinarily influence. So it's good that she, you know, she can get right back to
she
that.
She was Playboy's Miss June in 2017.
2017.
So a little while ago. Wow. She's been in a couple TV shows and some work over across the pond.
Okay.
And then a comment on that video, someone said, I hope you're not talking about doing this all by yourself financially, to which she replied, I am. So now people are characterizing this as Pete Davidson is a deadbeat who's not even providing child support. His team is denying
that. Very hard to believe.
I mean, stunned.
The interesting thing about the law, and he's a New York resident, but the interesting thing about New York law is you don't have to have kids, which, by the way, someone should have let her know that like, you know, like having children is fatiguing and all those other things. But most people actually know that and you don't have to have kids like you. But if you do decide to have kids, like this is kind of an assumption of risk that like, yeah, you're going to be a little sleep deprived for a period of time. But you don't have to have kids. You don't have to visit with your kids if you have kids. Like you literally don't have to take responsibility for your children from a time place. You don't have to visit your kids. You can't compel someone to visit with a child if they don't want to. But you have to pay for your kid. You have to. And child support enforcement is no joke. They can garnish your wages. They can seize your property. They can incarcerate you. There are all kinds of things that they can do. So if Pete Davidson was not paying any child support, that would be very surprising. And it would also be because then I guess she hadn't made any application for child support. Because if she did, she would get temporary child support immediately. Immediately. She would get to state of New York. Temporary child. If she came to my office 9 a.m., she'd have a child support award before 4 p.m. Like that. There is no universe in which she has no child support, no ability to get child support. So if she's just sitting at home, not seeking child support, and he happened to not be voluntarily paying it, which again, all seems sort of preposterous, then that would be a very specific thing. But, you know, she's got time to make a TikTok about it. So I imagine she's got time to figure that out in between modeling, acting, and influencing.
Would truly be an incomprehensible idea from Pete Davidson to even deny this or make it hard.
I'm sure, even though it's a New York case, and if he decides to hire me or something, then I'll go very tight-lipped about it. But I think and I'm sure he has good legal counsel and good advice he's receiving, and whoever he is working with, which I'm not sure who that is yet or if he's working with anyone yet, whoever it is, I'm sure I'll know them because it's a New York case. What I would say is it will probably end up being that they'll say, yeah, voluntarily start paying if he wasn't already paying. Again, I find it very hard to believe he's not providing some financial support of some kind for an infant child. Most people right away are voluntarily providing some support. Is it enough? Look, there's what you need, there's what you want, and there's what you're entitled to. You're going to get what you need. Like that's the basic needs, the shelter expenses of a child, they're going to be covered by the Child Support Standards Act, which is what governs New York cases. What you want, there could be almost no limit to what someone would want. So what you want is usually informed by that third thing, which is what are you entitled to under the law? And in the state of New York, it's 17% of your gross income less FICA. So 17% for one child, 25% for two, 29% for three, 31% for four, and so on. So she has an entitlement to child support, and she could seek that child support. Pete Davidson has an income stream. You know his name for a reason. He's an actor, and he's, you know, involved, I'm sure, and he gets residuals, I'm sure, from work he's done, and he certainly has projects in the hopper. He has a podcast. He has a bunch of other things. So this is a person who, you know, is an easy enough person to get child support from. So again, in this attention economy, people really like to do the, you've seen a lot of these, well, I'm a single mom. Well, you're single, and you're a mom. That's not what most people think of when you say single mom. When you say single mom, usually you mean that you don't have a co-parent, meaning you're doing this by yourself. The dad took off. Your biological didn't bother. It's a Shaquille O'Neal vibe, right? So you're not getting financial support and you're not getting personal support. I believe that Pete Davidson is saying, no, I am involved in this child's life in some capacity and want to be, and I'm willing to be financially supportive of this child. So is it to the level that this other person might want? Again, there can be almost no limit to what people want. I have people who come in and say, I only want him to be able to visit 5 minutes a month. And I have people who come in and say, you know, he makes $100,000 a year and I'd like $95,000 in child support. And you go, okay, you're going to have to temper your expectations a bit. So, you know, actors have a varying stream of income. They'll have good years one year, they'll have bad years another year. So, you know, he's had a couple of comedy specials. I'm sure he got some money for the making of those. He probably has some residuals if he's SAG-AFTRA. So, you know, he probably has some money, but is it this year is a great year and last year was it? Very often with actors, musicians, you have to like look at a timeline and you have to get the court to say, okay, this is a reasonable earning capacity to impute to this person for the purposes of child support calculation. Because if you just look at the year prior, what the person made, it could have been a low year or a particularly outlier high year. So you try to look at, you know, some average over time. And he's had a pretty, you know, significant career for at least the last 5 to 10 years. So he's also had a hell of a run with women.
So that was my next question to you.
Awkward looking dude.
I mean, when someone just has an allure like that, you
love
run it through his previous girlfriends, current girlfriends.
You love to see it.
A-list and beautiful. And there's just maybe just a little, I mean, you know, the BDE, the big dick energy kind of started with Pete. So he's got that going for him, but it is shocking.
It is.
You know, he's not Brad Pitt.
No.
He is a funny guy,
no,
but
he is
man,
not.
He is.
I mean, A, be funny. That's, yeah. I mean, that's a plus, big plus. I think he also has like a little bit of the, like he's good looking enough that he's good looking, but not so good looking that it looks like he puts any effort into it.
He's not like a pretty
which
boy.
I think women kind of like,
yeah.
Like the effortless good mm-hmm. looks. He's tall, you know, he's a tall, lanky guy. I've seen him, and we've been at events together. And he's a taller guy than you'd imagine. And he's a skinnier guy, but he doesn't look skinny in like an unhealthy way.
Like a hipster, like a,
yeah,
like,
he looks
I'm
like
a rock
he's got
band
a vibe.
Sort of
yeah. yeah. And he's very funny. I mean, I think, you know, his, like, I think some of his stuff on the roasts is about as good as it gets. He did very well on Kevin Hart's. I think he's, you know, he's done some really, really funny stuff. And, yeah, I think he has a quiet confidence about him. He's also got a little bit of an underdog thing. He's had substance use issues in the past. He's struggled, you know.
His dad died in 9/11.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, why do good girls like bad boys? You know, they kind of like that vibe of like, oh, I could fix him, or there's something textured to him. And, you know, he and I have friends in common. Simon Rex is a good friend of mine, and Simon and he are good friends. Simon was actually just on his podcast when he was in town, and Simon and I had got together for lunch, and then he was leaving to go to meet Pete. And, you know, Simon's a pretty good-judged character in my experience. And the fact that he speaks so highly of Pete tells me that he probably is somebody of quality. You know, Simon's just one of those guys who's been in the game for so long that he's just unimpressed by fame. So he doesn't just hang out with somebody because they're famous. He legit is selective about the people who he associates himself with. And I think he speaks really highly of Pete. So
let me ask you something. If your reputation is a big part of your career, your allure,
yeah,
and now someone is basically characterizing you as like a deadbeat, you're not paying for your kids. If you are,
it could be slander.
Is there recourse for that?
Yeah, it could be slander. Yeah, it's defamation. It's a statement that would tend to hold someone up to professional and personal disrepute and could harm their personal and professional reputation and therefore harm their earnings stream. And if it is false, look, truth is an absolute defense to slander. So if she is making statements, like if she was to say, he is not paying what I believe is enough child support, that's an opinion. But if she says he's not giving me financial support, that may be demonstrably false. And if it is, it's not what we call slander per se. There are some areas in the law that are like saying that someone has a loathsome disease, saying that a woman is a woman of ill repute. These are the legal definitions of what's called slander per se. That if you say this about a person and it's false, it is automatically considered damaging to their reputation. But saying, for example, this guy's got a big dick, okay, that may not be, if it's false, you could argue that it's slander, but the question is, does it hold them up to ill repute? You know, that it, and I arguably no, right? So you have to show that this is something that would hold someone up to ill repute. I think saying that someone is a deadbeat dad or failing to pay support for their children, if it's true, it's not slander per se, but I think that it would hold them up to personal and professional reputational harm, because either it means they have money and are just choosing not to support their child, or you're making a statement about their lack of income and saying this person has no money and they're broke and that's why they're not supporting their child, both of which would be harmful to both their personal and professional reputation. So I think people were feeling good about Pete Davidson right now. It's like, oh, he had a baby. He's kind of getting his tattoos removed. He seems to be kind of cleaning his act up, for better or for worse. Amazing, all the work he had done with his tattoos. The guy he went to is a guy in Manhattan, a well-known cosmetic dermatologist who's really known as like the innovator on tattoos. And it's shocking to see like the transformation. It took a long period of time. The removal of that many tattoos is really ambitious. I am so excited to talk about Proper Cloth. I have to tell you, I have been wearing Proper Cloth shirts exclusively for over a decade now. Absolutely my favorite shirts on the market, customized in every possible way. I like to show a little extra cuff on this because I like my French cuffs and my cufflinks. I like to have a little watch allowance on here. Proper Cloth gives you the ability to have a shirt that is perfectly customized. You're not going to break the bank. There is nothing better out there than Proper Cloth. Check out ProperCloth.com. Use offer code Sexton, S-E-X-T-O-N, for 10% off your first order at propercloth.com.
So you mentioned earlier how you do not have to have kids.
You do not.
Inside sources are, who knows if it's true or not, but inside sources are saying the reason they had this kid, classic Jim, to come together and to they'll be happy once they have the baby and it'll bring
that'll
them closer.
Do it.
That's got to literally be the worst
idea ever, right? Oh, no, definitely. Like, if you guys aren't getting along, put emotional and financial strain on the situation, really fuck around with the woman's hormones.
That'll be
really good. Mm-hmm. Make her go through something that, especially if she's a model, where her body is completely out of control and sort of feels like misshapen compared to the manner in which it normally would be for the purposes of modeling. Like, I don't think I'm saying something controversial to be like, we're not looking for pregnant bikini models out there. Playboy isn't doing a lot of pregnant women in their shoots. So yeah, I mean, I think that's going to absolutely make people sleep deprived if possible. I think that's going to work out. That'll work out great. I call that job security, that people would have that kind of a delusion that they would think that children are antagonistic to romantic relationships. They're antagonistic to marriages. Yes, of course, the shared love of a child definitely can bond two people together. looking at a person who you love as your spouse or partner, and now they, you know, are a mother or a father, of course, you can fall in love with them all over again in a different way. You can feel a deep love for a person who has a deep love for a child that you share together. I know my ex-wife, I have a tremendous deep bond with her, knowing that we are the two people who love our children more than anybody else. And we're there in the room when they were born. Like, that's a beautiful thing to share with another person. But to think that that's the Hail Mary pass, man, that is a high percentage. Like, you are really putting a lot on the table with that bet. And I do not know that that is a smart bet to make.
So when you say kids are antagonistic to romantic relationships,
yeah, you're exhausted.
Is it
your sexuality kind of gets like messed up by the presence of a child, like the routine that you might have enjoyed? I mean, nobody ever wakes up and goes like, because I talk to people about like, when are you ready to have kids, you know, and you never, you're like, you're never going to wake up one day and be like, I am so tired of leisurely showers and sleeping in and being able to have sex wherever we want, whenever we want. Like, I really would like to just, if possible, tighten all that in. And I don't know what I'm going to do with all this extra money. Like, I think a kid would really solve all of those problems for me. Like, that's just preposterous. Like, you just, you know, you got to just jump into it at some point, and you know, you're gonna learn the hard way on that stuff. And, you know, that's what people do. They sort of learn how to parent by being a parent. You don't learn how to swim by reading books about swimming. You jump in the pool at some point.
Yeah, yes, right. But do you think it's wise for couples to really know everything they're going to get into?
No. Or
yeah, I think the only reason why the human race keeps going is because people
run into
it. I think
the reason why we're running into a population deficit of the kind that we are, and why women are waiting to have children to a point where it's like almost every pregnancy is a geriatric pregnancy from a technical standpoint, is that, yeah, we've convinced people that, oh, you should check off all these boxes before you have a kid. Like, you will never be ready to have a kid. Just like, you're just not going to be ready to have a kid. I say that as someone who had a kid at 24. Like, I was totally not ready. I look at my sons who are 26 and 28. They are definitely not ready to have kids. And yet I had two kids when I was each of their ages. So, and do I regret that? Not at all. Like, not at all. Like, was it hard? It was incredibly hard back then. It's much easier now. It's much easier to, like, it's amazing to be 53 and have a soon to be 29-year-old. Like, that's an amazing experience. But I'm enjoying it on the back end. But on the front end, it was a fucking nightmare. It was really, really difficult. I don't regret it at all, though. It was one of the best mistakes I ever made, if you want to call it a mistake. Like, but I think all we do is talk about how awful. Like, I don't blame women, young women. Like, I'm meeting more young women than ever who are like, oh, I don't want to have kids. And why would you want to have kids with what the current zeitgeist is? All anybody does is talks about how awful it is and difficult it is. And it's like popular on the internet to be like, oh my God, it's so bad. Which, by the way, like, we overcorrect it. Like, there was a time where mothers were like, no, it's great. Oh my God, it's the greatest thing in the world. It's the greatest thing. There was a book that now would seem ridiculous. It was called The Mask of Motherhood. And it was a revolutionary book in like the 1980s. Because it dared to say, yeah, having a kid is really hard. And it was like something that women only said in like hushed tones. Like, this is really hard. You know, now with the internet, it's the complaint box of the universe. So all anybody does talks about how terrible it is to have a kid. And if you say like, oh, I love having a baby, it's so nice having a kid, they're like, what are you, a trad wife? Like, what's wrong with you? Like, don't you want to be a girl boss? And did you like, look, having a kid is wonderful and horrible. Like, being in a relationship is wonderful and horrible. Running a marathon is wonderful and horrible. Like, there's lots of things that are a combination of misery and joy, you know? And but in the aggregate, most people who have children will say, yeah, do it again. Like, people who are married, a lot of them would say, oh my God, never get married. But many of them will say, I'm really regret marrying this person, except for the fact that we had our children together. And we would only have had the children we have if in that unique moment, it was that unique person and I in that unique, like, if you had sex an hour later, you would have different kids. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy. I remember having that conversation with like Huberman or one of my science friends, and remember being like, oh yeah, like, if you had sex the next day, you would have had different combinations. Like, it's a different, like, it's amazing. Like, the miracle of childbirth, the creation of life, all that stuff. It's a superpower like you wouldn't believe. But we have really gone in the other direction now, where all we do is talk about how much it sucks. Why would anybody want to do it? And I think we have to get back to a place where people can talk about, like, yeah, kids is great. Like, kids is great. Like, there's parts of having a kid that's absolutely great. Is it for everybody? No, maybe not. But like, Is it only for people who feel super ready and are at the place in their career where they can afford children and they're at the place in their relationship where they feel like they have enough stability that they look, if you're waiting for all of those conditions to be checked off before you do, you are not going to get there. Like, fortune favors the bold. Like, having kids, I don't know a lot of people that regret having kids. I think it's, do I know a lot of people that are like, it's the hardest thing I ever did. It challenged me in ways I never expected it to. Yes. But,
and I think that's kind of, is it, if you're looking for day-to-day comfort and ease of life, then maybe mm-hmm. it's not for you. But if you want that long-term fulfillment and that purpose, right?
What do I say all the time? The hard thing to do and the right thing to do are usually the same thing. Like, look, if the internet has become, social media has become the complaint box of the world. It's why we're more fractured than we've ever been as a society. Men hate women, women hate men. Everyone hates themselves. Like, everyone's convinced the other side. They can't just be wrong. They have to be Hitler. Mm-hmm. Or they have to be communists. It can't just be, yeah, I disagree with the philosophy that underpins their point of view. And if you dare say, you know, I don't agree with most of this person's political beliefs, but I think at their core, they're a good person. We've just had different life experiences. We got to get back to this place where the internet is just capturing our antagonisms towards each other. Like, we have to, like, there is still a corner of the internet filled with the warmest, most heartfelt things, whether it's, you know, the service person coming home to their dog who missed them, whether it's people just practicing random selfless acts of helping someone they don't even know. Like, that's the stuff on the internet that gets me misty-eyed. That's the stuff on the internet and on social media that I can't get enough of. Like, people being kind to each other, people like forgiving each other, people apologizing to each other. Like, that could be the best of this. Like, we could really use this technology to connect each other again to our humanity, our shared humanity. But let me tell you, like, the medium is pulling us in this antagonism. The algorithm is pulling us into this antagonism. We don't have to take the bait, gang. We don't have to do it this way. We can stop and we can step back from it and say, yeah, they're trying to fucking manipulate us and we're not going to let them do it.
So do you think that, I think the internet can be provide freedoms and opportunities and financial mm-hmm. opportunities, and then can also describe everything you just
sure.
did, right?
A gun in the hands of a person who wants to protect is an incredibly helpful and useful thing to protect people. A gun in the hands of a villain is incredibly dangerous. Social media is the exact same thing.
So I think in both cases, the good and the bad, it might lend itself to not settling down and having kids, though. Because if you do have newfound opportunities and you became an influencer, you're mm-hmm. traveling the world, you're making money, mm-hmm. you might not want to settle down. And if you're hearing all of the kids are horrible yeah. and life is so bad, you don't want to settle down. And then you're also creating so many enemies that the whole it takes a village. You don't yeah. have a village anymore.
I think it's a question of, look, at the core, these are all questions of the crisis of meaning. Like, what is the purpose of life? Why are we here? You know, if we are just here to reproduce, like a gnat or a squirrel, right? Like, everything we are doing. I mean, look, man is an aspect of nature that considers itself separate than nature. Mm-hmm. And that is, some people would say, our fundamental delusion. I think, like, Tom Ligiotta and in the case Conspiracy Against the Human Race and some of the antinatalists that are out there would essentially say, yeah, the most intelligent and best thing we could do is just sort of betray our programming and just walk into oblivion, that we were not supposed to be self-aware. We were not supposed to consider ourselves separate than nature. We are just like any other animal. There are non-human animals and human animals. All we are is just trying to reproduce. Look at, like, Richard Dawkins, The Selfish Gene, any of those kinds of writers that would essentially say Dark Nature. It's another book, I think, by Lyle Hewitt. These are all, the Lucifer Principle by Bloom. These are all books about how we are just mammals that are trying to reproduce and survive. And we fulfill the biological imperative, and that's the only thing we're here to do. I don't believe that. I think that there is something about being human other than just reproducing. But I think if you were to just say, well, the greatest joys in life, trying to have the most enjoyable life possible, Are kids an essential element to that? No, they're probably antagonistic to some aspects of that. Like, you're not going to have as much money if you have children because children are expensive. You're not going to have as much freedom if you have children because children tie you down in some ways, especially while they're in school and being educated. Like, children are antagonistic to certain types of hedonistic pleasure. But the question is that the meaning of life, hedonistic pleasure? And again, do we have to put all of our ontological and existential eggs in one basket? Like, does it have to be kids are the meaning of life, or pleasure is the meaning of life, or work is the meaning of life, or money is the meaning of life? Couldn't it just be that finding some balance and finding an appropriate place for each of these things is like, it's as I've said before about the seven deadly sins, like the seven deadly sins is just human natural drives taken too far. You know, like, it doesn't have to be starvation or gluttony. It can be somewhere in between. Like, food is one of the greatest pleasures. And anyone who just is like, no, food is just fuel. It has no higher, like, pleasure purpose. You're an idiot. Like, you should enjoy food. But should you just eat what tastes good all the time in whatever amount you want because your body just wants it? No, that's a recipe for ill health and being unhappy and having an unregulated blood sugar and having your body be unhealthy and not optimized. So again, like, finding the balance is hard. And the hard thing and the right thing are usually the same thing.
Well, Pete's going to be happy.
I mean, listen, I think Pete is a guy. He's still young. He has a lot in front of him in his journey as a parent. I hope that this woman puts her phone down in her parenting journey. I rarely think that it's good for people to vent their dirty laundry about their co-parent or how, like, your kids will eventually see these things. And although I think there is value in your children knowing that, oh, it was challenging, like, do you really want to be known as a burden? Is that really what you want your child? Like, I hope this is also offset by some joy. Like, I wish. And again, I'm not saying women should not be venting their frustrations and sharing the challenges of motherhood on the internet. I think that it's probably very comforting for a young mom, when I say young mom, I mean a new mom, to have this sisterhood of knowing that other women are struggling with the challenges of early motherhood the same way. I think that's wonderful that people have the community of that. But maybe also be responsible and share some of the joys of it. I'm sure there are moments where this woman is exhausted like she was on this clip. But I'm sure there are also moments where, like, this baby looks at her and is like, that's my mom. Like, and there's this feeling of, like, you know, mom is the name of God on the lips of children. Like, there's this love and this bond that I'm sure she feels. And I hope she'll share that as well so that people see the pleasure and the challenges of this. If I just talked about how great my job is and never talked about the stress of my job, like, listen, you can love something and still say it's hard. You know, it's difficult. Like, I remember once complaining to my son, my older son, about, you know, how exhausted I was from work and how stressful it was at a particular moment. He was like, well, but Dad, you love your job. I was like, of course, I love sex, but if I did it for 14 hours a day without a break, I'd get tired. Like, of course, you can love something and it's still fucking hard. So I think motherhood, fatherhood, it's the same thing. It's challenging, it's hard, but it's also one of the greatest pleasures of life.